As someone who's involved in scientific communication, I've been asked over the last couple of years my opinion on GM crops, GM organisms, and to be quite frank, I have never been able to give an answer because what I think about it is sort of irrelevant in a way. It's what I should know about it that's relevant rather than what I necessarily think. And the truth is, I don't really know a lot about GM crops. It's a very, very complex topic that a lot of people talk about. A lot of people get very, very angry and passionate about, but when I've tried to research it, well, the evidence out there has been a little bit inconclusive or kind of very passionate. There's been a lot of feeling behind it with people saying, you know, all these frankenfoods, they're going to destroy the world, they're awful. But then you read a different sort of article and it completely debunks all of those problems and saying, using this product, if we use this product, this organism, then it's going to reduce the amount of pesticides, fertilizers, and all of the things that are needed to keep it running and alive that the conventional plant needs to have used on it, but this one, who doesn't? But at the same time, there's some plants that produce their own pesticides that will kill all sorts of creatures, including the great American monarch butterfly. And it's very, very difficult to sort of know what to think. So I've sort of just kept out of it and listened to what, you know, my bet is people that know more about the topic, listen to what they have to say, but not really commenting on myself, because without a knowledge of the issue, I'm not going to be able to say anything particularly intelligent or insightful, and I might actually say things that are downright wrong, because the science behind GM crops sounds, you know, very, very interesting, and the opportunity for what can be done is actually exciting. The developments of medicines that can help cure diseases due to genetically modified products. Now, I've been asked to move away from my current place of employment, to move from, you know, breeding fish and aquatic organisms and actually move into breeding genetically modified organisms. So as such, I have, you know, started to gain more of an interest, needing to start thinking about the topic a bit more for myself. And from the sounds of things, yes, the development of these genetically modified organisms is going to have great potential in the future. I was listening to a talk last night that was saying that they developed a type of mosquito that, well, they refer to it being infertile, but actually it isn't. It's got an altered gene that means that its offspring won't be able to develop properly and will die. So the male mosquito, and it's the male ones they've developed here, because male ones do not bite and they cannot pass on diseases such as dengue fever and malaria, because they simply do not bite you. So it's the females that bite you. But they've developed this male mosquito that they can release into an environment, and it can go around and it can impregnate, you know, all the female mosquitoes that it finds. She will lay thousands and thousands of eggs, but they'll die as soon as they hatch. They are not viable animals. Thus, it will start decreasing the mosquito population in areas around the world, which actually originally didn't even have a mosquito population, but recently mosquitoes have been moving into these areas. And with them, they brought the diseases and started infecting people. But if they were to release loads and loads and loads of these male genetically modified mosquitoes that die after a couple of days anyway, because mosquitoes don't live very long, if they do release those into the environment, then it can increase the number of non-viable babies being born, so decreasing the entire population of mosquitoes in the areas where these mosquitoes have invaded. They've become there as, you know, an unwanted product, and maybe potentially in the areas where they naturally reign, which does have ethical considerations into it, you know, the eradication of any species, whether it be one that we consider a pest or not, is going to have ethical considerations there, but there is nothing wrong with controlling an invasive species that has invaded a country and threatens the well-being of the general populace there with some really quite nasty diseases. So that's one of the ways in which it seems as if these GM organisms are actually going to benefit in the future. And of course, there's crops with increased nutritional values that can grow in a higher range of soils, a higher range of places and potentially even have greater yields. Then you've got plants and animals that can produce medicines. They can produce insulin. So the opportunity for this seems very exciting. And what I would say is it would be nice to be able to focus on the science behind this so that we can sit down and have a sensible debate, a sensible discussion and say, this is what we can do. And these are the potential drawbacks of that. And to actually know fact as opposed to fear something new. People are afraid of vaccines. You know, there are thousands, if not millions, of people out there that aren't vaccinating their children against measles, mumps and rubella. You know, that's absolutely ridiculous, and it's been shown to be simple hysteria. The only reason why people aren't doing it is because they're scared. They're not listening to the scientists, and that's what, when I hear things on the GM discussion topic, that's what I'm sort of worried, that people are reacting to the unknown, they're reacting to scary things. And to be honest, having big multinational corporations owning products, seeds, organisms, and selling them to people, which is what companies do, every company doesn't, it's not inherently evil, it's not inherently bad, but it is a little bit of an anxious idea if the companies were to somehow become in control of food, if it isn't quite as easily and readily available as it is now, which is also a joke because there's lots of places in the world where food isn't readily available and they've opened up food into new hospitalities, but they're not doing it for the pure reason of trying to feed the world. It's not Bill Gates. He's not behind every GM product out there. Well, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart in the same way that potentially he would be doing as a philanthropist who's funding projects and supporting every company is that friendly, unfortunately. But I'd like to see some science behind our views, what we think and what we've been arguing.